Hi, welcome to Women Writing Men, episode 31. This is season 3. Hi. I'm here with Mariah.
Hello.
And I'm Delaney. And we are on a quest to find the most attractive man in fiction. Probably should have come up with some sort of recap of where we're at right now.
Yeah. I thought about that. I was like, we're starting season 3. We need to, like... Women Writing Men.
Yeah, let me find the top 5, bottom 5 of the list. We've got Whitaker from Small Favors. Pierrot from Lonely Hearts Hotel.
Yeah.
Callum from...
Knots and Crosses.
Will Grayson from... Will Grayson. And Wade from... Wow. Idaho.
Go Wade.
I know, he is, like, doing really well.
Except for I... For all those listening, top 3 are like high.
High!
And then 4 or 5 are like.
Pretty. Maybe we should have done top 3, bottom 3.
There's like lots of room for people to come in at 4th, and it would, like, I don't know if it would take a lot.
It would not take a lot to get to 4th.
It would take a lot to get to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, like they're pretty high. Bottom of the list, we've got Jackson from. That one alien one, Go-Go, from, I have no idea what that book was called.
Pinch Me.
Wow. And Travis from that really bad one, Beautiful Disaster.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, today we're doing The Last of the Moon Girls by Barbara Davis.
Okay.
Quick summary, Mariah. Mariah's read a lot of books, so we might...
We'll see. I have, like, so many in between this one, and I read so many so quickly at once.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is a book about a girl whose name is Lizzie, and I know that because I saw it on my phone.
Not because you knew.
At all. Her grandmother has just died, and she's going back to the town that she grew up in to kind of, like, settle the house. She, like...
The estate, yes.
She had abandoned her life there because... Her family is witches, and she didn't want to be witchy witch anymore. And then also, maybe her grandma murdered some kids. And she didn't want to deal with, like, small town
drama, like, of that.
Drama of your grandma's a murderer, yeah. You're a murderer's granddaughter, get out of here.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, I'll go, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah? And then what happens? The next door neighbor is her bud. Is his name Andrew?
Yeah, you're doing so bad.
Is his name Andrew?
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe that.
Okay, but that doesn't excuse how bad of a summary you're doing.
I thought the beginning was good. I think I started great.
Yeah, you started, but you've, like, been steadily losing steam. So Lizzie comes back, she starts looking into the murders because she wants to kind of clear her grandmother's name, basically.
Yes.
And,
I forgot about that.
Meanwhile, she's getting closer to Andrew and events of the book unfold.
Yeah, I really can't believe I got his name right.
So yeah, what were your general overall thoughts? You knew what this book was.
No, I really liked it for a book compared to the other books I was reading at the time. Have you seen that, like, Harry Styles? Like, why did you like this movie? It was a movie. Yeah. If anything's a movie, that was a movie. That's what I feel like right now. Did you like it? It was a book. I did read a book.
Okay, is that the sum of your thoughts?
So bad.
Some hot commentary coming from Mariah today.
What else do I remember? I mean, the other thing that I remember it enjoying, which we've talked about, is that it wasn't a romance. But there was romance.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm really curious.
About the murder and all that stuff. What she's going to do with her life and stuff like that.
And she's falling in love at the same time, and that's fun. And more fun to me than just falling in love.
Yeah.
So I remember enjoying that.
Yeah. I enjoyed it in terms of, like, I liked reading it. I didn't, like, I wasn't dreading picking it up, which has happened with some books.
Yes. I didn't have that either.
So, like, I enjoyed it from that point of view. The only thing is, I didn't really get it as far as the theme. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't get what the author was trying to say about any of this. It felt like some of the messages were sort of contradictory. Mm, like, okay. Like, I was like, why did she choose this story to write? Mm-hmm. Like, the author. Mm-hmm. And that was something, I don't know, we can talk about it at the end once they know everything, once they have more context.
Sounds good.
But yeah, jumping right in, chapter one, Althea is the grandmother. She is dead. She left the farm to Lizzie. Lizzie is short for Elizabeth.
Yes.
So she's currently, Lizzie's currently working for, like, a fragrance company in New York.
Yeah.
And so she, like, escaped her small town in New England, I believe. It's called Salem Creek, the town. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm never going back. I hate that place. And so she finds out that her grandmother died, and then she's like, oh no, now I have to go deal with that.
Yes.
But she never wants to go back. So there's a guy that she, like, dated at the fragrance company.
Yeah.
Named Luke.
Yeah.
Who, he's kind of just an asshole the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of just a plot device.
He says tough break to her about her grandmother. Like, tough break. What you gonna do?
And then, also, in case you're wondering, you know, grandmother Lizzie, the mom is kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
She, like, left at some point.
Lizzie doesn't, no one knows where mom is.
Yeah. Chapter two?
Sure.
So, we also are introduced to this crime, like, that's going to be investigated.
Yes.
Which was the murder of Darcy and Heather Gilman.
Yes.
And the two girls had come to Moon Girl Farm to, like, buy a love potion mm-hmm. from the grandmother before they were murdered. So then the grandmother was kind of, like, one of the last people to see them alive. And so, and then the girls were later found in the pond on Moon Girl Farm.
Yeah.
So that's why the grandmother was, like, all implicated in it. She also, Althea had, like, left out little dolls to, like, help guide the girls home or something.
But they were like, it's voodoo.
Yeah, it's, like, it's creepy. Witchcraft. It's, yeah, it's all bad. And, you know, Mariah was like, they are witches. But it's not, like,
they're witches.
They are. But it's, like,
they don't ever really say it.
They don't ever really say it. And, like,
they have gifts.
They have very small term gifts, you yes. know? Like, Lizzie can smell people's feelings.
Yeah. Like, and grandma can make plants grow and yeah. bring plants back from the dead. But, like, that's the extent.
Yeah.
Like,
that's pretty much
their gift. And then, like, grandma's really good at, like,
she's just good at normal things. Yes. Like, they're just
like
kinda
that, like, spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
That people really enjoy. Like, she makes, like, creams, like, healing yeah. things for the town.
And soap and
but
stuff.
But not
like that.
Because, like,
she's
there's
magic.
No magic going into yeah. it. She's just good.
She wasn't, like, selling love potions. No. Like, she was selling, like, lavender oil and stuff yeah. like that. Very normal things.
But Lizzie, also, like, when grandma writes her a letter, right, in mm-hmm. chapter two, and it's about, I guess she gets it from the will, like,
yeah,
person.
The lady, yeah.
And Lizzie's like, grandma's like, you have gifts, you need to use them, and Lizzie said, no, I don't. But, like, I don't get why she does that. Like, should we know it, like.
She's currently, like, at a fragrance company. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess maybe Lizzie doesn't have gifts, and that made it really hard for her. No. Nope.
She does.
She does.
Yeah.
But she wants to, Lizzie decides, she doesn't really want to go back to Grandma's farm, but she's like, I gotta go get the journals.
The books, yeah.
Of all my family. Because every moon woman
yeah,
writes a journal of her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, no one can find these.
Well, also, like, they need to stay in the family. Yeah. And, like, they can't just be tossed, basically, because yeah. it's, yeah.
But she's like, I'll just go get them and put them in my closet, and that's where they will stay.
Yeah, and I will be the last moon girl, because I'll sell the farm, basically.
I'll sell the farm. I'm not going to yeah. subscribe to the moon girl life.
Yeah. Unsubscribe.
Okay, keep going. I thought that was funnier later.
Yeah, okay. Chapter three.
Yeah.
So, I was so confused by, like, the timeline of things. Because I thought she was a lot younger when, like, Rana left and the girls were murdered. But she was, like, early 20s.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. At the point in the book, how old is she? Like, 30s?
Maybe. I don't know if I ever noticed.
Yeah, Lizzie.
But it has been several years.
Yeah. It's been like 8 years or something.
Yeah, I was going to say that I would have put her around 28.
Okay. It said she was like 28 when she went to college. So I think. I know. I was like, what?
How old is she?
Right?
Continuing on.
I think she's in her 30s.
Okay.
So she goes to the farm. She meets the caretaker of the farm currently, who is a friend of her grandmother's named Evangeline.
Oh, yeah. And also, to point out with all of this, Evangeline's not super impressed with Lizzie because she's like, you haven't been, you haven't written.
Yeah.
But grandma, like, hid that she was dying.
Yeah.
So, like...
So it was, like, this weird thing where, like, the grandmother hid that she was dying because she didn't want Lizzie to feel obligated to come back. She wanted Lizzie to kind of, like, want to come back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Evangeline was, like, caring for grandmother while she was sick. And then... So they're kind of... There's some tension there at first. And then it's kind of implied that Evangeline is also a kind of witch.
Yes.
She sings to bees.
She's, like, real good with the bees.
Yeah. But she's, like, from Louisiana, I think. Right?
I don't know. Why would you ask me that?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. But, yeah, so she's... They're, basically, Althea and Evangeline came from very different, like, walks of life, but they met up, and then there was a kinship because they're witches.
Yes.
So, yeah, Mariah implies... There's some notes from Althea. Lizzie starts, like, reading a book that Althea wrote for her.
Yeah.
And she reads it throughout the book. She's, like, reading these little...
Because Grandma excerpts. Says...
Yeah.
You'll know when to read the next part.
Yeah.
And it was very perfect.
It always worked out really... exactly for what was going on. Yeah.
But yes, Grandma said... And Grandma admits in the original thing, I've got things I haven't told you.
Yeah.
So we're like, ooh, what's it gonna be?
Yeah. Chapter 4, she... goes to the pond to
literally think. For chapter 4 I'm like, this book is a lot about senses and seeing things, so nothing much happens. She yeah. wanders the farm
literally. There's a man coming to fix the greenhouse and she goes to the pond
and she decides at the pond I'm going to
clear grandma's name.
Yeah.
So yeah, chapter 5 we're introduced to Andrew Grayson, who is obviously the love interest.
I said gotta be the romance this yeah. guy.
So he is the neighbor. They've kind of, like, they've known each other all their lives.
Sorry, keep going.
And,
I made a face at her, everyone. keep explaining.
And he's had a crush on Lizzie. Is this a chapter from his POV?
I think so.
Okay.
Because how would she have known that?
Yeah. Yeah, how would she have known he's had a crush on her his whole life? But I wrote it down. Yeah, so he's an architect, and he's, like, currently living at his dad's old house because his dad died recently.
Yeah.
And so he's renovating the house and then working in the city. Like, yeah. He's going back and forth.
Yeah.
So that's his story. I didn't really love that he didn't have anything going on. Like, he was just kind of, like, waiting around for, like, a girl to fall in love with.
But he did go to work a couple times.
Yeah, I just mean he didn't have any, like... plot relevant things. No. He was dealing with, he was just like, I'm an architect.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm here to support you on your journey.
Yes, that's true. I understand. He also says in his head, I guess, or we're assuming this mm-hmm. is his perspective, that he has, like, tried so hard with Lizzie and yeah. she just never
noticed.
But then we find, but I wrote immediately after that she actually was intentionally avoiding him.
Yeah.
So, like, was it, like, a multi-perspective chapter?
No, okay. Do you write something for chapter 6?
Yeah.
Okay, because in chapter 6, she kind of, like, talks about it from his perspective, or from her perspective, like, the way he used to, like, try to be nice to her, and she's like, it's because he pitied me, and he, like, felt bad for me.
I also noticed, or, like, I had this realization in chapter 5, because her gift is smell, and I was like, you're gonna get so much smell in this book, but, like, smell that makes sense.
Yeah. What does he smell like?
Andrew smells like amber, sandalwood, crisp fall days, with a hint of smoke underneath.
What does amber smell like?
I don't know, but that was the thing. I was like, you can literally say anything because she has a gift of smell. And it's things that maybe we don't smell.
Literally, what does amber smell like?
And
isn't
says
amber a rock?
It is scent. Its scent is sometimes compared to that of pine and leather with a heavier balsamic and slightly smoky aroma.
Okay.
And that's what he smells.
So Andrew tells her that the farm is in bad shape
yeah.
and not going to be easy to sell. And
but he wants to help her.
Yeah, and she thinks about the time her mom was, like, having a mental breakdown in the fountain.
Yes.
And he, like, came and rescued her from
it. I wrote that she's a drug addict and alcoholic. Is that my inferring, or is it...
I don't think she did, like, super hard drugs. I think she just, like, did a lot, like, drank a lot and did some drugs, like, yeah. some light drugs for the mom, but...
But yes. So.
She was not a present parental figure.
Yeah, I think she takes her clothes off and sings.
Gets naked, yeah.
And so Andrew does rescue her and gets her out of the situation, and then she thinks he's pinning her. So yeah. That goes to the pinning
Rescues
thing.
Lizzie from the situation. Leaves the mom naked in the fountain.
Yeah. And Lizzie says at this point that she's afraid of other people's kindness.
So she goes to the police station because she wants to investigate this crime that happened, the murder of the two girls. Heather and Darcy. And they were, like, 12 and 14 or something, I believe. Yeah, so she goes to the police station because she's like, what's going on with this 8-year-old investigation that we've dropped?
Yeah.
And they're like, there is no investigation. And...
Because Althea did it, is basically...
Yeah.
He's like, but you don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
It's her. And she's dead now, so...
So it's all good. Problem solved.
Murder off the streets.
Yeah. Because they didn't have enough to convict Althea, obviously. Yeah. So they just didn't do anything, yeah. basically. So... She finds out, though, that the detective who had originally worked the case was this guy named Roger Coleman. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote, she talks to Luke and he's annoying.
Yeah. I wrote it. That's why I was confused, because I was like, who's Luke? She talks with Luke. Even more aggravating. Implies that he was relieved when his own mother died. Does not seem to have any empathy towards Lizzie at all. And calls her babe, even though she has told him not to. And they are not dating. He sucks. Why did she date him?
Yeah.
This is what all happened with the Luke
yeah.
conversation.
Thank you. Chapter 8. Mm-hmm. So, did you pick this up?
I don't know what you're about to say.
Okay. Andrew talks about, there's this, like, angry guy there named Dennis Hanley.
Yeah.
That works with Andrew.
Yeah.
Did you immediately flag that as that's the guy that did it?
I was thinking about that. No.
Oh, okay.
But then I was like, did they introduce any other characters?
Who could have been an option?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was like, why would you... Like, they talk about this guy's backstory.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you talk about his backstory if he didn't matter? Like...
At a point, I started to be pretty sure. And then I remembered, and I was like, oh, of course this is why she was... introducing him and giving him that thing.
Yeah.
Because there were other characters that were like, there's the lady who works
at the coffee shop. Yeah.
But she didn't...
It wasn't in the same amount of backstory. Yeah. Like, because there was like this whole backstory about how his brother killed himself after coming back from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, on the one hand, that could have been slipped in kind of effortlessly, but it just... I don't know.
Felt like too much for you.
Yeah, like, I immediately was like, he did it.
Yeah.
Why else would you have told us anything about him?
I didn't write him down, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. So, I wonder how you do that, though. Like, correctly.
You want to slip him in.
Like, you have to have at least one other suspect.
Yeah.
And I guess they were trying to frame the dad, like, that's what the author was trying to do.
Yeah.
But, like, it bugged me. I was like, it's clearly this guy, because why did you say anything about him?
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing, is, like, I think he says, like, oh, yeah, this guy, his brother Hollis, committed suicide after he came back from Afghanistan. And it's like, why would you tell me that?
Even if you just said, oh, yeah, his brother just died, like, in the last year or so.
That could be passed off, maybe, but this was just too specific.
I also don't fully connect why him being rude...
To her. Justifies
him.
His brother.
Like, Anyways, what else happens in chapter 8?
Yeah. She finds out Andrew knows this detective guy who
worked
with him.
And so does... Oh, yeah. Well, this is where I was like, okay, this police chief is useless. Because the police chief is like, I don't know where he moved.
Yeah.
And then she goes home and she... Evie's like, Andrew knows. And
yeah.
I'm like, so Evie knows that Andrew knows and Andrew knows? Like, come on, police chief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we spend a lot of time about reading how Andrew is renovating his house. That was the end of chapter 8.
I wrote, okay, briefly on theme, there's a thing about being seen in the town and being invisible because, like, Lizzie, was constantly, like,
seen
in town, and it made her really uncomfortable. And she wanted to be more invisible, and that's why she went to the city, and blah, blah, blah. But I just, like, I didn't understand what this book was trying to say about that, because I was like, don't know if any listeners out there from small towns, I lived in a small town, it's wildly uncomfortable to be known, like, for a negative reason in a small town.
Yeah.
And I felt like this book was really, like, idolizing, like, ooh, small town life, it's so great. You can, like, live on the farm and make things. And it's like, and it talked about how bad it was to live in a small town mm-hmm. and be different and do stuff like that. And then at the end, she's like, I'm just going to live on the farm and make things and be great. And who cares what the people in the small town think? Even though the people in the small town made her life hell for several years.
Yeah.
Like, it just was a weird take, I think. I didn't understand what she was trying to say. Like, do you just tolerate the small town terribleness so you can have your farm? Anyway, chapter 9. There's, like, a whole thing about how the police chief wants to be mayor, and that's why he biffed the investigation. And
the mayor forced the chief
to, like, drop it.
Because it looked bad during election.
Yeah.
That the murder was unsolved. People had decided it was Althea, so they were going to leave it at that. Small town malpractice at its finest.
Yep. Love small town life.
And she finds this out because she goes to see Roger Coleman.
Yeah.
And just so we all know, he smells like polished shoes, fresh cotton, and wet leaves. And wet leaves is a sign of deep sadness in your life.
Yeah, says. And his wife and son were killed.
Yes.
And I was like, that seems like an unnecessary detail, but okay.
So maybe she was just saying, I'm going to give all of these people unnecessary details so that you don't suspect Dennis. And Coleman never stopped trying to investigate, but he wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, so then he, like, left, and then he was going to be a private investigator, and then blah, blah, blah. Chapter 10.
Wait, also, I wrote this down, I think. Must have been important. Andrew put his hand on Lizzie's. I don't remember why, but it happened.
I think it was when she was like...
Does she not like to be touched? It feels like I wrote that because she was like, stop it! Don't touch me!
No, it was like they were...
Like a...
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You, for any of you who don't know, Mariah just touched my hand. It was, I think it's because they were at the detective's place and she was, like, feeling sad about her grandmother. And he touched her hand to be, like...
So was that mean just being like, oh, the flirting is all...
Yeah.
Okay, now I can move on.
Lizzie goes home. Evie has made cobbler. The
detective is gonna tell her, I'm gonna relook at my files. I'll tell you if anything comes up.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm waiting. Let's go talk to the Gilman parents.
Yeah. She also reads a journal entry from Althea that talks about, like, whether you should make somebody look for the make a kid look for the monsters under their bed versus, like, coddling them. I don't know. It was just about truth.
Yeah, I wrote it all down. I wrote a lot about it.
Oh, okay. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I was just reading. The truth is not easy, so we avoid it. But the truth is incapable of real harm. It is who we do harm. How? It is how we do harm. It is how we do harm when we refuse to face what is real because it's uncomfortable or inconvenient, leading to monsters in your room story and the need to face the truth to get over the fear. We convince ourselves that to not know the truth is easier, more peaceful, the path of less resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But that path comes at a price because to not know truth means to live in lies. So she was talking about the monster under, because Grandma was like, remember, you thought there was monsters under the bed? And it'd be one thing to just say, like, there are monsters under the bed, but that's okay. I don't fully understand.
No, that. she was like, so normally the grandmother would let Lizzie
sleep in her bed.
Yeah. And right. Then one day she was like, okay.
That we need to face.
So then she made Lizzie, like, go look in the closet with a flashlight with all the lights on and, like, look for the things.
Yeah.
To, like, find it out for herself. It's a weird message in terms of, I didn't understand why. Is it because the town needs to know that who really killed the girls? Is that what the point of this entry is?
I don't know. I feel like it's more about the fact that Grandma thinks that Lizzie's trying to live a lie.
Okay. That Lizzie needs to face the truth of...
Who she is. I guess I'm thinking about this in context of the town and stuff. In the end, light is the only thing that has ever chased away darkness. This is another thing Grandma says.
Okay.
And just thinking about, like, this Grandma being, like, rise above
mm-hmm.
the town. like chase away the darkness of what happened here with your light and being true.
Being who you are, yeah. Kind of thing. Maybe. Maybe that is the... Okay. Yeah, so chapter 11...
She follows Fred Gilliman
home. Yeah.
Like, girl, Andrew's already been like, don't do that.
Don't,
like,
wait, don't go near him, for starters.
The detective deals with things. Stuff.
Yeah.
Don't just go demand answers from Fred Gilliman. And she's like, I think I'll follow him home. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. And so Mr. Gilliman is not very happy to see her. And he's like, you can leave. I don't want to talk about the murder of my daughter.
She also is like, I know your grandma did it. And yeah. Maybe you'll die soon too.
Yeah.
He implies like
he's pretty like sketchy.
Yeah. And so he's that's also... why he's like, obviously she's trying to pin it on him. I didn't think it was him right away.
Yeah. And he was like, don't talk to my ex-wife either. She has nothing to say.
Yeah.
And so Lizzie's like, I'm gonna go talk to your ex-wife for sure. And then I wrote Andrew tells Lizzie that he likes her.
Yeah. Andrew wants to help her and she's like, why do you want to help me? Is it just because you feel sorry for me? And she's like, he's like, no.
No, I like you. Yeah.
And I want you to like me.
Yeah.
And then she runs away.
Yeah.
She's, no, stop this nonsense. Because also, we haven't talked about it, but there's this whole thing about the Moon Girls. Do we find it out at this point?
They must, I don't know, they talk about it so much.
But like...
The Moon Girls have to be alone.
They can't marry.
Can't have boyfriends.
So like, their job is to like, go have a one night stand.
Yeah, so they can have a single daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as a kind of witch...
Yeah.
You can't have other people in your life.
Yeah.
I thought it was so dumb. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. And then chapter 12, I wrote Andrew laments.
Yeah.
Because she ran away again, yeah. I think.
And I was like, it's like, we just, every once in a while, we get this, like, Andrew perspective. And I thought it was a really interesting choice.
To have, like... I found them kind of pointless, because I was like, they really don't tell us anything new.
They don't. But why? Why was she putting them in there?
That's,
like, there wasn't, here's Andrew's story contrasting with Lizzie's story. It was just, now we're going to see how Andrew feels about what Lizzie has done.
Yeah, that was, like, literally the only reason we had the Andrew chapters was, like, to see that he really loved her. And I was like, why? Why?
I don't know.
I think that was unnecessary.
But he does also mention in his section that during the whole murder stuff. Also, so... She murders, almost might have murdered the children, the town thinks. And then mom, like, curses the town because she doesn't like how the town's treating them. So then the town holds a prayer circle to banish the town from evil.
Yeah.
Like, they have it very...
out for the Moon Girls. Yes. Yeah. Chapter 13.
Yeah.
Evie made muffins. And they get, like, a weird witch doll. Like, someone hangs a doll in a tree outside with, like, a pentagram. No, okay, this is funny. So, someone hangs a doll in a tree outside, and it has, like, a message, like, it has, like, a Bible verse or something about, like, thou shalt not permit a witch to live or something.
Yeah, something.
It's very threatening. And Evie's like, that seems like a threat to your life. And
Andrew's like, yeah, definitely.
And Lizzie's like, no, it's not a big deal. And she's like, this used to happen all the time. Someone carved a pentagram into Althea's car once. Someone left a dead cat on our doorstep. And I was like, what? It's just a prank, though, bro. So chapter 14... Random lady at the coffee shop just tells Lizzie all the information she needs to, like, get a hold of Mrs. Gilliman. Yes. And, like...
So convenient, but it happens.
Yeah.
So then she calls Susan.
Yeah.
And then the plot thickens.
Yeah. And so she goes to see Susan, like, pretty much immediately. And Susan is like, the girls were out of control. And they weren't actually her daughters.
Children, yeah. Like, Fred's first wife died.
Yeah.
And he remarried Susan when the children were very young.
Yeah, they were like...
So she was like, they were always her children to her, but Fred was very like...
He was like, these are my girls.
Yes.
And she couldn't, like, he was emotionally abusive.
To her.
And so he was like, if she left him, then she would, like, lose the girls because they weren't technically her real daughters kind of thing, and so...
And he was also, like, obsessed with his daughters, specifically the one that reminded him of his dead wife.
Heather, who was the older one.
And he wouldn't discipline them.
Yeah. And they were, like, wearing bad... They were, like, dressing trashily, and they were out with boys.
He was buying them condoms.
Yeah, like, they were just getting into trouble.
And then the night...
Which, very small town, for that to be something that's happening.
And the night that they disappeared, they didn't come home. And Susan was like, we need to call the police. And Fred was like, no, we don't want to, like, the town know that they are being, like, to no good.
Yeah, because he didn't want, like, the police to find them and then bring them back, like, drunk.
He didn't want the bad reputation.
Yeah. So then...
Which I thought was an interesting take, because I was like, you don't want to ruin your girl's reputation, but you're like...
But they're, like, dead at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, like... It was just a weird family situation. And they were, like, trying to set up him as... But I was just like, he didn't. Like, he clearly cared about them.
Yeah.
So it just didn't...
Okay. Also, just, like, a total side note.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I was questioning whether Evie was a hallucination or a real person. Because no one except for...
Lizzie had interacted with her.
And in chapter 15, Andrew talks to Evie, and I'm like, oh, okay.
She's real.
She's real.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I was like, maybe she's just, like, there to help Evie, or
like,
help
she's
Lizzie.
A spirit.
Like, yeah.
That's so funny. Chapter 15, I wrote, like, so much stuff, but I don't think any of it's that interesting. She's having trouble selling the house.
Yeah.
She talks to one of Heather's friends who tells her that Heather changed and, like, didn't want to be around her mom. And I think it's because the mom was, like, trying to discipline her and like, was knew too much about, like, what was going on with Heather. So Heather was, like, trying to spend less time.
Yeah.
Around her.
And she knew that, like, she could control, like, she had her dad wrapped around her finger.
Yes. So,
and he was, like, buying her the inappropriate clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point I was wondering, like, maybe there's a little bit of, like, sexual violence going
on
with Heather and dad.
Yeah.
I didn't ever think that he would have killed her, but I was like...
Maybe it was weird.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sexual assault. That's, I don't know.
Bad things.
Bad things. Where yeah. I was like, he's creepy and he's clearly attracted to you.
Yeah. That was the weird part. And I was like... This is, like, such a weird, like, subtext to put in. It's fine because it does, like, it's not unrealistic necessarily, but it just, like, I don't know. It made for weird vibes.
I wanted to talk about the other thing that I thought that I wrote down about this chapter was her response to Andrew. Because since he's revealed, like, I like you, I want you to like me, she's been, like, super standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that that is what she has been taught to do with men.
Yeah.
So that you need to be reliant on only you.
Mm-hmm.
You must keep the Moon Girl safe by being alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? No. What you're doing? Because the Moon Girls have our gifts and people don't understand us. I'm like, actually, the fact that you are treating him this way makes you seem strange and more likely that he is going to go away. Like,
yeah. Like, you're driving.
You're driving. You're, like,
yeah. You're fulfilling the prophecy.
People can accept you, but
if you let them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah. The Moon Girl practice of no man was, like, so dumb to me. Like, you are... The reason why no man has loved you is because you treat them bad. Not because they don't understand who you are.
I wrote lengthy, unhelpful letter from Althea.
Oh.
It was about bitterness being bad and love being good.
Yes. It was about the healing of scars. I feel like Grandma's letters... are trying to answer that question that you had about the...
Of
like,
what is the point of the story?
Well, no, the... why did she move back to the top town afterwards?
Yeah.
So, one thing that Grandma talks about is, like, Lizzie withdrew from the town because they were afraid. The town withdrew from the Moons because they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma encourages her to forgive what the town did because bitterness is a subtle poison. It lulls with its righteous indignation. Thank you. Indignation.
Yeah.
And its false sense of power then turns on you and burns your heart to ash. But forgiveness is balm to the wounded heart. So, I like, all these little things are just, like...
The reasons that she ends up... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I felt like they were just, like... I don't know. They felt very heavy-handed in their messaging.
I also don't really remember what Althea said to her.
Mm-hmm.
But... In this act, so she obviously has said something about having to be alone. And I'm like, again, why can't they be with someone? because it's about scars. And so she, like, it's a solitary life. And she's like, we need to heal our scars. I'm like, why do you have to do it alone?
Yeah.
And I get, like, we've talked about in other books where you don't need
You don't need a man to fix yourself.
No.
But you also don't need to be alone to fix yourself. If you want to date someone, you can do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Chapter 16. I wrote, someone named Helen gives Lizzie a weird look, probably wife of that one guy who died.
And you were right.
And I was correct.
I didn't write about Helen.
That's literally all I wrote about chapter 16.
There's another romance brewing between Emmy and an old man named Ben.
Yeah. I didn't write anything about that because it didn't really matter to me.
I did note, like, she's healing her relationship with her grandma throughout this story. So some of the things that she did is she makes a migraine remedy for another person. Yeah. And she's like, so this is what Althea feels. Again, the reason why she comes back to Moon Girl. She's like, wow, this is what it feels to help others.
Yeah, and to be, like, a part of the community and stuff like that. Yeah, because she does, like, discover there are a lot of people that always believed her grandmother was a good person. Like, there were lots that...
I guess it's that notion, too, of, like, when someone is against something, like...
It's so much louder, yeah.
Yes, like, the people who are against are so loud, and actually, like, it's fine. The small, small minority, and everyone else...
is fine or positive. But they don't say it, so then you don't know. Chapter 18, she goes and talks to, like, a lunch lady at the school to, like, try to learn more about Heather. And
her friends.
Yeah, and then the lunch lady's not helpful, but she's like, can you make me some soap?
The lunch lady also remembers Lizzie because she stood out even when Lizzie was trying to blend in. And Lizzie's like, dang it. All these years! I was failing at the thing I tried.
Yeah.
But she agrees to make the soap, and I'm like, okay, so she's going to start making things slowly, and she's going to be... seeing that the town isn't all against her, and she's gonna fall in love with the town, and she's gonna fall in love with the
Andrew
people.
And then she's gonna live happily ever after in small town. Anyway,
chapter 19 is what I call throwaway chapter, where Lizzie and Heavy discuss why she is making soap rather than selling the house.
Yeah, and there's a journal entry from Althea.
I wrote nothing about this one.
I wrote nothing is beyond rebirth, and that's like what Althea was just trying to say is like you can still start over.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Yeah.
There's no, like, it's dead forever, necessarily, which is a weird take from a dead woman. But it's fine. Chapter 20. Fire.
Yeah.
Fire in the orchard. Yeah. So, yeah, someone sets fire to the orchard and a shed. They use Molotov cocktails, which I was like, that's a pretty aggressive thing.
Way to burn down someone's orchard. And Lizzie basically is like, okay, well, someone's terrorizing us. Hopefully they'll just... slip up and we'll figure out who it is and hopefully that's a murderer.
Yep.
She's not like really super concerned still. She's like, hopefully this is just gonna give us answers.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. I think Andrew and Evie are taking it seriously, but, and there's like police investigating it and stuff like that. So chapter 21, Andrew shows up with her mother.
Yeah.
Like he just like found her mother like
hitchhiking
because he was doing architect work somewhere. So he brings the mother back. And he was in a weird position, like, obviously Lizzie doesn't want to see her mother at all, but at the same time he's like,
do I just leave
this? The woman is coming where I'm going anyways, like, he knew, and so he's like, she's gonna show up, like, I might as well just do this.
Yeah. And then, and then Evie's like, Andrew, you stay too, and Lizzie's like, ah! She's so unhappy.
She's so unhappy.
And I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then Lizzie and Rana argue at dinner.
Yeah, it's an awkward dinner.
And I thought, how uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was wildly uncomfortable. But basically, like, Rana, she's like, I gave you to the grandmother to raise.
Like, all along. Not, like, when I abandoned you at 20. From birth.
From birth, I was like,
this is your...
take your... that's your kid kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I think that was the right call. And, like, Lizzie... I think the issue is that because, like, Rana was still around the whole time...
She was like, well, you're here.
You're here. Why aren't you mothering me?
Yeah.
And so it just, like, was, you know, a constant reminder that it wasn't working. And, like, Rana, you know, got pregnant and had a baby randomly, basically. Like, it wasn't, like... like, she was pretty young, I think. That's Rana's story, but she's around now.
And then we get an Andrew perspective again.
Yeah, I wrote... I didn't actually know that it was an Andrew's perspective, because I just wrote, Lizzie and Andrew try to talk about Rana, and they end up talking about Althea.
Yeah. He tries to tell her, give your mom a chance, and she's like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, I
thought that was a bad move.
I had a real problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, Rana is allowed to be here, basically. You know, like, it's her mother died, It's where she grew up. Rana's allowed to be here. Lizzie does not have to like her.
No.
Lizzie does not have to give her a chance either. Like, just because she's your mom is no excuse at all.
No.
Like, people who want to be in your life have to bring something to you.
Yeah.
They can't, like, they have to be...
Well, I said, she has to want her mom on her own.
Yeah.
No one's gonna convince her.
Yeah. And
you telling her is not
gonna... It's definitely not gonna convince her.
I wonder if it was just... I mean, I could see it. I don't know if it was said, because I didn't write it down. But I could see it from the perspective of him just having lost his dad and being like... Yeah,
and being like, it's your mom.
I know what it's like to lose my father, and I don't want you to, like, have that regret.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like,
I know, from his perspective, I could see where he was coming from, but
it's not a good... It's never
a good... It's not a good take.
No.
Like, you... If you don't like your mom, and you don't want your mom in your life, you don't have to have your mom in your life.
But he does switch gears, which I did appreciate.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, no, no. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let's talk about Althea.
Let's talk about something else. Yeah.
And then they start talking about ghosts and whether ghosts are real. And, like, he agrees with Lizzie on all fronts. And she's like, I never thought that could happen. Come on, Lizzie.
Yeah. She reads a thing from Althea about Rana and about wounds and, like, healing wounds.
Well, perfect timing,
What a weird timing. Chapter 24, Lizzie and Rana bond over making soap. Because it is, like, Rana is kind of trying. Like, she's trying in terms of she doesn't... Like, Lizzie's like, you should leave immediately. And Rana's like, can I not have to leave immediately?
Yes. We also find out at this point that Rana does not want to be touched.
Yeah, she has, like, a touch aversion.
Which is... I wrote this. It's associated to being sexually assaulted, which Lizzie's... Like, so I guess she thinks, maybe my mom got sexually assaulted. No! Definitely not. And I'm like, why are you just brushing that off?
Yeah! Like, yeah.
It's weird that your mom doesn't want to be touched. Clearly something happened.
Something's wrong, I know. Like, I was like, okay, probably it wasn't sexual assault because Rana has had boyfriends.
Yeah.
I think that was, like, the implication. But yeah, it was... I was like, it has something to do with her weird witch power.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And Lizzie doesn't know what her mom's power is.
Yeah, and has never asked and is not curious.
No.
Chapter 25. I think this is an Andrew chapter.
It is.
I wrote Dennis, the weird guy, he listens at the door when Andrew calls the police about the doll that was left, like the threatening doll. Because once the fire happens, then Andrew's like, by the way, there was also a threatening doll.
Yep.
And I was like, well, it's clearly Dennis. Because Dennis, like, works for Andrew, so he's, like, at the house. And I wrote, chapter 26, the cops come, and she has a weird moment with Andrew, because she's, like, mad at Andrew for calling them.
Yeah.
I don't know what else happens in that weird moment.
He holds her while she panics, is what I wrote.
Oh, okay.
But she says to him that she wants him to be on her side, and she feels like he's not on her side.
Yeah, because he called the cops without asking her.
Yeah.
So, Lizzie and Rana make soap. And then I wrote, Althea writes about Rana again, coincidentally. And then
I said, Althea's not done talking about Rana.
Yeah. And then I wrote a quote because it was, like, so on the nose that I was like, okay. There is no quarrel sharp enough to sever the bonds of blood.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, again, I think...
That's ridiculous, for one.
Right? Like, I was like, there's definitely things, like, you can do.
Your mother... murders your sister. Are you gonna...
Is that quarrel?
In, like, cold-blooded...
Yeah, like, are you gonna be like...
Eh, it was justifiable, probably.
Yeah, like, nothing severs the bonds of blood. Like, I was just like, that... I don't know about that take, Althea. Like...
I did not write that down.
Yeah, so...
But she points out, and Rana has hinted, that, like, there is something... bad about Rana's past that Lizzie does not understand.
Yeah.
And Lizzie needs to understand that before she can really, like, close the door on her mom.
Yeah.
That is what...
Which justified, maybe, like, at least, like, understand your mom and then
absolutely.
Decide you don't want a relationship with her.
Yes.
Chapter 28. Roger shows up to talk to her about the fire and the case. And there's, like, a newspaper article about the fire at the farm. And then Rana asks Lizzie to go somewhere with her. It's time.
I wrote, this chapter is thrilling.
Is it?
That's what I wrote.
So chapter 29, Rana, like, takes Lizzie to the graveyard.
Where the Gilman grave, the girls' graveyard. Graves, sorry.
Yeah. So they're at the cemetery, and then Rana, it tells her that she sees how people die.
She sees dead people.
Yeah.
Dying.
So
she actually only sees the dead people.
Yeah, like,
she doesn't see how they die. She sees them dead.
Dead. So she, like, when she touches someone, sometimes she'll have a flash of, like, how they're, like, they die. And at first she, like, thought that maybe she was doing it, you know?
Like that she touched them, which causes them to die.
Yeah. And so she had, like, a whole mental breakdown about this. And it's pretty unpleasant for her, like, to touch people. And sometimes she just sees their death.
Yes. And so that's why she drinks and does drugs.
Yeah, and has all her issues.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's maybe... I'm glad that Lizzie knows that about her mother. It's kind of crazy that she's just finding it out now. But apparently that's...
And that's... And, like, it's like a justification for why mom didn't want to raise her. Because mom was like, I literally didn't want to touch you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see how you died.
Yeah.
So I don't touch you.
Yeah. And it was also like...
But, like, I did it because I love you. I wanted you to live and I didn't want to see how you died, so...
And she was like, I knew I was very messed up. And so I had, like... Like, she knew she was, like, had all this stuff going on with seeing the dead people and having a weird time. So, chapter 30, I wrote... She has, like, an I'm not like other girls talk with Andrew, where she's like, I'm not like other girls. I can't marry boys because my family line has forbidden it.
And then he's like, it doesn't matter. I can't ignore you. And then his scent overwhelms her.
Wow.
And then she's like, stop flirting with me. Your scent's overwhelming. No, she doesn't say that, but...
Yeah.
Because his scent becomes so overwhelming, and I guess she knows that that scent is flirting scent.
Yeah. She says she can't be with him, and he's like, I don't actually care.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to be with you. I want you permanently, because she's, like, thinking, I guess, that he just wants to sleep with her.
Yeah. I also wrote description. He has gold eyes and stubble.
And then he says that he knows that the moons are different, and I'm like, so he knows they're magic.
Yeah. But he just, like, is like, I know you stand out, and you're kind of weird. Weird person.
Yeah.
There's weird stuff going on.
But then I guess she says more clearly the reason why she doesn't want a husband is because people think the moons are evil and wicked, and eventually that will hurt your loved ones so much it's better to have not loved at all. I just wrote in all caps, dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm not like other girls.
And then she says, and I won't have children because I won't make other, and my child be not like other girls either.
Yeah, that would be hell.
And then Andrew's like, I don't care what you say, I want you.
Yeah, but he's not like, he's actually just like, I just don't care. Like, I've always known this about you. It's not news to me.
Yeah.
Chapter 31. So Lizzie thinks about giving up the investigation because she's like, why am I even doing this?
And then the house becomes unsellable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't matter because you're not going home. Clearly this book ends with you staying here.
Yeah.
Rana's being helpful.
Yeah, Rana and Evie are going to go sell some products at a festival. And I was like, where did you guys get these? But fine, whatever.
And then this is the point where I'm like, okay, it's 100% Dennis.
Yeah.
Because they mention him again and I'm like, hey,
you can't just mention him that much.
Over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Because no one else gets mentioned again and again and again.
Yeah, because their farm is apparently beside the Moon Girls farm.
And they sell pot.
Yeah, they
used... pot farm.
Yeah, they were growing pot in the corn or something.
So I was like, this is where they were going. This is where they were murdered.
Chapter 32.
Yeah.
So she goes to pick some stuff up from the hardware store. And Fred Gilman is just like... casually holding an axe that he bought from the hardware store, and he's just like vaguely threatening towards her.
Yeah. So she goes to tell Andrew,
and then Andrew goes,
I need to go deal with a Fred.
Yeah, so then he goes and casually threatens Fred Gilman for talking to her.
And then Fred cries.
Yeah, see, and I was just like, Andrew, this is all Andrew does, is he like shows up and he like kind of like tries to fix her stuff for her. And I'm just like, what is your reason for living, Andrew? Like, what are you after in life other than Moon Girl?
But maybe he's just in a bad place. Like, not a bad place, but just
in a place where he's fine. And,
yeah.
Maybe. Chapter 34.
One thing I just want to point out about Andrew that made me enjoy him as a man was that Lizzie, she's all panicked about Fred.
Mm-hmm.
She says, basically, like, gives him permission to kiss her, and he's like, no.
Oh.
Because he's like, I know that you're only doing this now because you're, like,
freaked out.
Freaked out. Like, and that you're not going to actually, like, be happy about your decision later.
Yeah.
But I've seen girls not like when guys do that.
Yeah.
Because they're like, just kiss me.
Do what I say. Not what you think I should do. Yeah. That's fair.
So I don't know.
Both arguments are fair.
But he's right. She would have 100% regretted it later.
Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 34, someone breaks into her house.
And tries to kill her.
Yeah. And so she runs to Andrew's house. And then chapter 35, I wrote, Andrew chapters are pointless. I don't get them.
I didn't even write notes for chapter 35. I wrote, this book is picking up pace and I'm just going to write when I feel like it at this point. And I didn't think anything was relevant in 35.
Yeah. So the other thing is like, they're like, oh, whoever broke into the house, this is clearly related to the Heather and Darcy Gilman murders. And I was like, how convenient that this murderer is doing this. Because, like, I was just like, if you were a murderer and the case has been dead for 8 years...
Why would you start trying to murder someone?
They kind of explain why, but I just was like, I don't know, man. It just seemed kind of foolish to me on the murderer's behalf.
Yeah. So then she sleeps at Andrew's house and they bang.
Yeah, they bang. The one note I had is, I don't think Lizzie is a very sexy name to moan. Because I think he says something like...
Lizzie.
Yeah, like he said her name. And I was like, I don't know.
Now he is hurt and sad.
Yeah, but he made her breakfast. And they go to investigate the house. And the intruder didn't take anything, which is how they determined that he was trying to kill her.
Yeah.
And she tells Andrew the bang didn't mean anything, even though it clearly did. Because, like, she is, like, in love with him. She's just like, I'm a moon, I can't do it.
So then she goes to the supermarket. That's my next point.
Yep. And this lady, that lady who was rude to her that one time, Helen, who is the wife of the brother of the dentist, she...
Well, warns Lizzie to be careful.
Yeah. And, like, initially Lizzie's like, was that a threat? Or was it a warning?
So then she thinks it's a threat at first, and then she kind of leaves, and then she's like, what if it was a warning?
So then she goes back and is like, was that a warning or a threat? Like, she runs into this lady, and the lady is like, she's initially, like, just there, and then Dennis shows up with her daughter to, like, pick her up from work or something, and is like, and he, like, has the daughter, and she has, like, a bruise on her cheek, and so then Lizzie's like, Helen's being abused by Dennis. And I don't know. There's like a whole thing.
This is what I wondered about Dennis. Because I was like, Dennis is clearly a murderer. So maybe other brother, like, kept Dennis in check. And now he started murdering again because other brother's dead.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought too. But yeah, like he was restrained by the other brother or something. So Lizzie realizes that the note that was on the doll before was on butcher paper. Because it was like on like a craft paper. Because she gets, like, deli meat from the grocery store. And
it's Dennis.
Because we found out at some point that Dennis worked at, like, a meat factory. Like, a meat processing plant.
So she calls Roger. Yeah. Tells Roger what she thinks. And Roger's like, I agree. Dennis is the brother. Dennis is the killer. And then he goes into the backstory of Hollis.
Yeah. So Hollis, the brother who died, he left a note.
In his suicide note.
Yeah. He left a suicide note about, like, going to hell for what he'd done. But then then Roger's like, but I talked to his buddies in Afghanistan and he didn't kill anyone in Afghanistan. So who did he kill?
Like, what was it that he had done that he thought
he
should die for?
But the note was gone. Like, the guy who had come. Yeah.
It wasn't Roger who went. The
it was some other.
Called, went, didn't collect the suicide note for evidence when he went back for it.
It was gone.
And the wife was like, there was no suicide.
There was no suicide.
Like, she now was lying.
Yeah. And then, so once she's done talking to Roger, she, like, thinks about going back to the city and leaving the farm for good. And then she, like, goes, she's in the barn and gets the feeling that she's not alone. And then, Dennis has shown up to just explain everything. It's really nice of him to come.
Isn't that funny? I mean, they do it all the time.
They do it all the time where the murderer is just like, let me tell you about exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And he just has a Molotov cocktail with him. I think because he was coming to burn the barn down.
And then she was in the barn.
Then she was there. So he was like, ah, convenient. So yeah, they struggle and she ends up like throwing something.
I didn't even write down what happened. I didn't write down what Dennis explained, so I'm
really... I didn't write down what he explained either.
What?
I know. It's explained better by the lady later, the wife, Helen.
Helen, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he basically is like, I did it. But yeah, she like struggles with him and throws something flammable at him when he's
the
lit.
Perfume.
Yeah, when he's lit the Molotov cocktail, so then it burns him, and then she escapes the barn, and then Lizzie asks Rana to ride to the hospital with her, which is like their bonding.
Yes. Where buds she calls now. Her mom. She calls her mom, which yeah. he doesn't do.
Yeah,
she
like,
and she decides it's time to stop punishing her mom.
Yeah, which I could get on board with stop punishing your mom. Like, you don't need to have a full on relationship, but like, you can stop
punishing her.
Yeah,
it made me cry. Aww. Not because. Like, mostly because I was like, I can't imagine what it'd be like to not...
have a relationship with your mom? Yeah. 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 All right, now the big explanation of what happened.
Yeah, because I was like, things still aren't fully adding up, because they're like, it must have been Hollis. But then I was like, then why is Dennis trying to kill her? Because...
Yeah.
Why would it matter? Hollis is dead, Grandma's dead, like, everyone's dead.
Yeah, everyone involved is dead. So...
Wait, actually, before that, Andrew had a chapter.
All I wrote is he was worried about her.
He nearly lost her, but she wasn't his to lose. And I said he should move on, but he won't, and they'll end up in love.
Yeah. So, chapter 42, Helen, who is the wife of Hollis. Hollis had told Helen at some point, like, he had been like, this is all the stuff that happened, because he felt so bad about it.
Yeah.
And Helen was like, I won't tell anybody. And then Dennis found out that Helen knew, so then he was, like, trying to keep her
in the...
Like, he was, like, kind of living with her and, like, helping her out with the daughter and stuff. But he was, like, yeah, controlling her and trying to keep an eye on her so she didn't tell anyone what happened. Dennis was basically, like, just trying to protect his family's image kind of thing. So the girls were hanging out with Dennis and Hollis the night of the murder because...
They've been hanging out with them a bunch.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Heather was creeped out by Dad.
Yeah.
She was like,
She was like, I don't really want to hang around
He
with
was
dad.
Watching her sleep.
Yeah, he was being...
Walking in while
really,
she was changing.
He was being weird. So she was, like, hanging out with Dennis and Hollis, and, like, Dennis was getting with Heather, and then Hollis was getting with Darcy. I didn't know what the age difference was here. I got the feeling it was not a good age difference.
And Darcy got scared.
Yeah.
By what Hollis was doing.
I think she was drunk and, like, thought something was happening, and Hollis... Because Hollis wasn't... He wasn't a bad guy.
He wasn't. So then Darcy runs into the pot fields.
Yeah, and then the dad comes and, like, smashes her head with the butt of a shotgun, and she just, like, falls.
Yeah.
Because the dad was not a good guy.
No.
So
Heather heard Darcy screaming.
And then she came, and then the dad told Dennis to, like... make Heather shut up, so then...
He strangles her to death?
He strangles her, yeah.
And then the dad's like, now deal with this.
Now deal with the bodies, basically. So then...
Dennis and Hollis take the girls
to the pond. But then Darcy wasn't actually dead.
But Hollis put her in the pond anyways.
Yeah,
because
so then...
Dennis kind of made him, I think.
Because right? Dennis was like, we
gotta do this.
We've already killed the one sister. Like, we can't. But yeah, so they... So then...
So that was the crime. Like, that was what...
That's what the...
Hollis couldn't live with in his suicide note.
Yeah.
And that is all of what happened.
Yeah. And so then, like, the reason Dennis did it is, like, his dad was, like, pointing a gun at him and was like, you have to kill Darcy. And then... So it kind of, like... Yeah, sorry. The dad sort of, like, implicated both the boys in the crime so that it was all wrapped up. And so...
Like, they would keep... They had to keep his secret. Like, they were all now having to keep each other's secret.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Lizzie tells Roger.
And I was like, so now that's wrapped up, and now we just need to let Lizzie and Andrew fall in love, and the story can be over.
Yep, and she tells Andrew to leave.
She's gonna make it hard for him. I can't believe there's still so many chapters left.
I don't have that many.
I have, like, well, it just seems like I have a lot of notes left. She's still pushing him away, yes.
Yeah, so she's still pushing him away.
So I was like, obviously Grandma's last entry is gonna be about letting him in.
Yeah, yeah. And then so she talks to Rana, and Rana's like, you should just date Andrew. And then she talks to Evie, and Evie's like, you should just date Andrew. I should stop saying Evie, it's supposed to be Evie. And then she reads the final grandmother journal entry. Did you write a lot about it?
One thing that she does one thing that I do think is interesting is that she's packing up her family books, and then her book is empty, and then she's like, oh my gosh, if I don't fill in my book, like, what is my life? What was my purpose?
Yeah.
So she says to herself that she's denying who she is, even though who she is makes her happy. Because throughout the book, she's like, wow, I love making my perfumes, and I, like, mm-hmm. I love this life, but yeah. I don't want the yeah. town to not like me, so yeah. I'm going to...
not be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the final journal entry from Althea is about how she had, like, loved the father of Rana. Like, she had loved him a lot, and then she was like, no, I'm a moon girl, I can't be with him. And then he went off to Vietnam and died.
Yeah.
So... she, like, really regretted that choice. And so then Lizzie's like, I won't make the choice that I regret.
That wasn't even in this chapter. There's still more.
That was it.
Yeah, but there was a chapter. Grandma wrote two final letters, and you just skipped one.
What was the other one?
Dandelions for resilience. She says that you shouldn't live alone, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I have a secret to tell you, but it's not in that one. Then we get... another chapter. Then we get an Andrew chapter. Then we get the secret love chapter where we find out all the stuff about Grandma and her love.
I just realized I did 43 and then the next chapter I did was 46. I clearly was just like, whatever, the book's over.
I know. I mean, that was one of my comments. Okay, going back to the where you stopped taking notes. There was nothing really important. She basically, the first letter is a preamble to be like, you need to let love in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a secret. And
then, yeah, and then she tells her a secret.
And then, so then she's like, goes back out into the world. The only thing I wrote for the next chapter is that she smells her grandma while she's deciding that she's going to pick Andrew and the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get an Andrew chapter, and I'm like, okay, we must be close to the end now, because what is happening? Andrew's coming to say goodbye. He isn't going to try to let her stay. He's finally going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Rana is so sad. She wants Lizzie to be happy with Andrew, but she will be. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't going to even come say goodbye, but then he's like, I need to see her one more time. And then they decide she's staying, and then he loves her. And then we find out all the things you just said.
Okay.
About Grandma and the secret love. The moons have been taught that to love is to give some of yourself away, but Althea says we lose nothing when we love. It's only in refusing to love that we pay and lose the most precious part of ourselves. That's why we've come to love, because that's all there is.
Okay. Epilogue, she gets married to Andrew.
And I cried because I always cry at weddings. And she smells Althea at the wedding.
Okay.
And the town does a memorial for the Gilman girls and Althea.
Can we talk about the theme for a second?
Yeah.
Because just there, just where we were talking about, like, Althea's, like, love is the most important thing ever, that does not feel like what the moon girl thing is. They were very adamant about no boys allowed.
Yes.
So why is the message, love is all you need?
Because she was saying that all of the moons did it wrong.
All of the moons did it wrong. That's the message.
Yeah. Well, not that they did it wrong. I guess that's...
So Lizzie's the last moon girl because she's changing the way the moons are doing things?
I think so.
Okay. And I didn't understand why this book. I might cut this because it's very uppity, but, like, what part of this book did the author want to write? That's the thing that I wonder about books. Because, like, sometimes you'll read a book and there'll be a scene where you're like, damn, that's such a good, like, climax scene or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like they crafted the whole thing around that scene. Yeah, and you're like, that was a good moment. Like, Small Favors, I felt like, had several of those where, like, it was such a good scene, and you're like, oh, it all was crafted around to make that. This one, I was like, why did you want to write this story? Mm-hmm. Like, what did it mean to you personally, author? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the author wanted?
Well, I just thought, the reason why I had so much more is because I took the book club questions.
At the end?
And yeah. I was like, maybe there's things in here that would help us. But I have to read it all. It's so long.
These are like fucking English, like English 12 questions.
Yeah.
And they're not that good.
I was like, I wonder, I'll just see what they mm-hmm. are. I never read them. There are references throughout the book about being invisible, making yourself small, and not bothering anyone. Can you identify with these kinds of thoughts? And if so, how and why do you think we manifest these feelings in our everyday lives?
See, I agree, you should not be making yourself invisible or small, but it's so hard in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
They know you intimately. And I don't think this book was like, be seen for who you are. It was like, be seen because you solved a crime.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like she became good with smells and did good smell things, and that's why the town liked her. It's because she solved a crime.
And then Yeah, like, she solved the crime, so now the town...
likes her again.
Yeah.
Because they know she's not...
But if she had never solved the crime and decided, actually, I do really just love perfumery and want to come back, would the town have actually forgiven her?
No. Like, the murder didn't contribute to the overall theme.
Whoa.
It was just a thing...
happening.
It was just happening.
While she was trying to... be seen and be vulnerable and expose who she really was, but the murder didn't, like...
contribute to that learning at all.
It was just existing.
Yeah, and it just forced her to rely on Andrew.
Yeah.
It didn't, but, like... I don't know, it didn't, like, challenge her in new ways.
By the way, one thing you didn't say, the book ends with us finding out that she's pregnant with a daughter. And she says...
So she's not the last moon girl.
No. Did you forget this? Did you not write it down?
I didn't write it down.
But she says, I don't really know. Home isn't where you live, it's who you are. Lizzie says the moons don't do magic, they are magic. And then the book ends.
I don't get this book. Like, what? Like, pick a message and do it. Do that message. There's too many in this one.
Yeah. I was entertained.
Yeah, no, it's a book.
But if you look in
deeper
and try to be like, why?
If you do the book club questions, you're like, what?
I mean, one of the book club questions is, Lizzie says that they are magic. What do you think that means?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I got an answer from that book. Kind.
It's like they're women, and that's what it means. Is you're just, woman is magic. And I feel like it bugs me, because it's like, women do have a unique kind of magic, but so do men. They can have magic too. Men can be witches.
Yeah.
That's the thing where I was like, anyway.
Is that what the point, like, we are magic? It's not the fact that we can do magic. That's like trying to let us all into their...
to their thing?
Yeah.
That, well, it's just like so...
Alright, sorry, we went on an extra tangent. Let's rate Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew.
Andrew, the Mandrew.
The Mandrew? Okay, that's the list.
So, well, what do we like about Andrew?
He's not a murderer.
He's not a murderer. He really loves Lizzie.
That already gets him, like, so high on our list, just by not being a murderer.
He has a stable job.
He has a stable job.
He can, like, that does something for women.
Like, he's generally just, like, a capable man.
Yep.
What in the Wade innkeeper Jonah zone?
Yeah, I would say. Like, the only downside of Andrew, like, he wants to take care of her. And I think when in a relationship, doing some of the things he did would be like, yeah, you've got my back.
Yeah.
But they weren't in a relationship.
So then he was just kind of like...
getting too involved.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't...
he was like, I'm your
overstepping
boyfriend.
Overstepping boundaries.
Yeah, I'm your boyfriend already.
So that would be, like... and, like, he wasn't extremely exciting. But, like, those are the two things that where I think, okay, so let me look at this list again. Now that I've examined.
Yeah.
Jonah is from the Alaska.
That's not what it was called, but yes.
I know. Okay. He's better than Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah was more problematic.
Yeah, he had problems. Yeah.
I honestly... I would put him either above Wade or below Wade.
I could put him above Wade.
I just think
Wade,
like,
also had issues.
Yeah.
He's very high on the list.
So above Wade.
What about...
so he broke the top five.
What about Will Grayson?
Oh. Who was more attractive?
Will Grayson was, like, more of a human person.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Andrew just felt like a hot architect that you date.
Yeah.
I would... yeah. I'd put him under Will Grayson.
But he did break the top five.
He did break the
Coming
top five.
In at number five.
At number five, Andrew... his name's Grayson, I'm going to put it, because it's funny.
Will Grayson, Andrew Grayson.
Yeah, they sound like brothers.
Maybe they are.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Okay, yeah, that's it.
That's The Last of the Moon Girls?
Yep, by Barbara Davis.
Maybe the fact that the girl, she thought that the Moon Girls were going to die, and then there was grandma's story, the chapter on rebirth. Like, nothing ever really dies.
The Moon Girls can be reborn as something new.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sorry, really?
No, that's how we're, like, still speculating after the episode ends.
But anyways,
yeah, check us out on Instagram. Check out our website, womenwritingmen.com. And if you're interested, you can do stuff on Patreon. We have that. You can support us on there if you're interested. But mostly, thank you for listening. Yeah.